Arvo's with Tim Shiel
on Double J.
Welcome to Double J, Gaspar. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Where are you at today? I assume maybe you're in your home, or are you working on...
Yeah, I'm in Paris, yeah. With a very grey sky, sadly, but yeah, all good.
Well, I apologise for the grey sky. I can't help much with that. But it's great to have you chatting, and it's great to talk to you about this new record, Escapades, because I got to be honest, it's like right up my alley. And I think a lot of people will be ready to hear this record, not just because they're hanging out maybe for a new missive from Justice, but simply if you're a lover of big, bold, fantastical 70s production music, this record's like a dream come true. It's called Escapades. Maybe we could start with the title because it just seems so obvious. Like, this music feels like an escape. Was it cooked up sort of before we all got locked in our houses and went through the last 12 months, or is it a reaction to that?
It was almost finished like 1 year and a half ago. So I guess it was right before the pandemic. But then like it kind of made sense, you know, I guess in some kind of weird prophetic way. And I guess I even found the title like before the lockdown and everything. But it's kind of weird, like how relevant it feels now. But yeah, it was really a complete accident. I chose this title for many reasons, but because it was some kind of escape out of a duo, out of a music genre, out of some kind of pop format. And I guess to me, at least, it's so much easier to escape in your own head, like when you're listening to instrumental music, mostly because there's no language, there's no lyrical content, and there's no like storytelling. And this is what I like about instrumental music and mostly about 60s, 70s soundtracks or library music is that it's very visual, but while staying very open and there is no like other meaning that's what the listener puts in it, and
none of those pesky vocalists to get in the way with their stories and their feelings and stuff.
No.
Were you tempted, Gaspar, were you tempted at all? You know, this is, it's a bit of a moment, stepping out from Justice to do a debut solo record. In the back of your mind, were you tempted to, because I imagine, I don't want to embarrass you, but you would be in a position where if you decided to put a singer or a rapper on every song, you would have a pretty impressive, like, contact book or whatever. You could get some pretty amazing names, probably. Did part of your brain entertain that, or was it always like, no, I'm going to make my like instrumental masterpiece? Because I know what I prefer. Like, I'm glad with how it went. But was there a part of your brain that was like, man, I could get Pharrell on this or something like that?
No, but yeah, it's fun because obviously, like, there's always someone, like, you know, at your record company that is like, oh yeah, but what about like a remixed vocal record with all the tracks? But I mean, never say never, but it was definitely not like in my mind when I started this record. But mostly because there is so much like ego and posture and also whenever like you're getting a vocalist like to work on something you did, you have to accept that you're losing a bit of control, you know, because obviously it's not you singing. So and it's definitely not about being a control freak. It's more about like keeping the what I had in mind, like you know, like to faithfully manage to record it. And obviously there are some vocals on the record, like choirs and some kind of soprano singing at some points. But it was more used as a human musical instrument, and also it's just because I got really tired about like pop music, like at large, you know, like just because there is such a weird, like a crazy race to, like crazy race for coolness, and it's a bit tiring, you know, like to endure like the egos of singers. Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Of Australia, does it feel like a while ago? Because it's probably been a few years since you've been here.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, no, but every time we got to Australia, it was really great fun, and we have a few friends there now, like the guys from the Midnight Juggernauts, and we were always like checking them out and having fun. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about library music or production music, because you sort of touched on it before, and it is kind of a, for some, like a cult music obsession. But for anyone who has not heard of the idea of library music and production music, it's sort of an extension of film soundtracks, but it's a whole world unto itself. Can you, like, how did you first stumble into that particular world, and you know, what does that mean to you, the idea of production music and library music from the 60s and 70s?
The thing I really like about it is that obviously it has a functional purpose, but that purpose is to be as illustrative as possible. So when it's sad, it's very sad. When it's epic, it's over the top epic. When it's melancholic, it's super melancholic. And all these guys, like from the UK, like France, Germany, like were really like such pioneers in terms of production and also like home studios, because they were really like some kind of mad scientists.
Yeah,
and they were really pushing the limits of traditional instruments and getting into synthesizers and getting into machines, and yeah.
And there was a vast network of these composers and these electronic producers who were making production music. I mean, you can look at some of the names that we do know, but underneath that, there's this, all of this vast network of people who were tinkering away and making amazing sounds. Gaspar, I wonder, you know, if you were born, you know, 20, 30 years earlier, is there a chance that that's what you would have been doing rather than like touring the world in like a, you know, rock and roll electro duo, or similarly, like some of those kind of nerdy production music producers? Do you reckon if they'd been born a bit later, they could have been, you know, Justice? They could have ridden the wave into that scene.
Yeah,
do you
maybe
reckon there's some similarities? Just timing.
Yeah, probably. I guess it's really hard for me to imagine what I would have done like 30 years ago, just because obviously, like I'm able to write and make music because the computer is definitely like a great tool, and also that it got like so democratic that anyone can do something with a laptop or whatever. And this is the weird thing, because obviously like library music from today is somehow very looked upon, you know. It's not like the best thing you could do in music today, but I mean, there's obviously absolutely no shame in doing library music, but maybe we just don't have the perspective of finding it attractive. But mostly because I guess library music from today, it's more about, okay, I need a track that sounds like that this other track that I can't afford. So it's a bit less creative, I guess.
Well, I mean, I dare say there's a whole bunch of production tunes that have been made by someone who was given the brief, we need it to sound like Justice. And there's folders and folders of library music like that. I wanted to ask you, this new record that you've put out, Gaspar, a lot of the recording for it was done in a very special studio in Motorbase. which is of course the studio of your friend who sadly passed away. Doesn't feel like that long ago, Philippe Zadar. How was it being back in that space? You know, a place I'm sure you've spent a lot of time and still full with his equipment and maybe some essence of him as well, I assume.
Yeah, but I actually it was very touching, like to be there, and it was just it would have been important to him and still is to his family that the studio like stays alive and so I guess yeah, that's the best way to to pay homage to his work and his dedication, like just recording music at Motor Bass. And the funny thing is that I worked with a guy called Victor Le Mans, and he had worked with Dar like many times before. And I guess like the space is so full of Philippe's Dar, you know, that it was some kind of like a benevolent figure, you know, like in the studio. So we were just like mimicking his very special voice and it was kind of fun. Yeah, it was just like over our shoulders, like, oh yeah, this is very good what you're doing. I really like this. It was fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful to think of. There'll be so much more music still to come from his studio, and that it's staying alive in Paris. That's such a wonderful thing to hear. Gaspar Auger from Justice. This brand new solo record is so incredible. It's called Escapades. Before I let you go and get back to, I assume, making wizardly electronic experiments in your studio, I have to ask, just on behalf of Justice fans in Australia who are listening to Double J, you know, like, are you guys working on anything or any plans coming up? I know you two are still friends and still doing stuff. Anything you can share with us?
We never like stopped working together with Xavier. Like even when I was recording my album, like we were working on different projects. Some projects like will be released, some won't. But it was just very, very exciting to try stuff a bit outside of the process of making an album. And just to get out of our comfort zone. And so, yeah, we did a lot of music together, and now we're in the process of making a new record.
Fantastic. Is he tempted to make a solo record as well? Does he feel like he has to keep up?
No, I guess he's very happy with my record, and I guess he doesn't feel the urge to do something, and he's happy with working on the next Justice record.
It is an enduring influence on me and inspiration on me because of that fire and that truth to the word.
Music makes you.
There's just so much beauty in this record. I just want to take this album and go and deliver it to everybody's house. Double J.